You can't handle the truth.
You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Spring has sprung. I'm here. I'm looking over. I got distracted right before I started because I saw that Brian walked in with a mound full of papers.
We printed the internet again.
Yeah, we printed the internet again.
So there
was two things I needed to remember, and I just couldn't, so I printed them.
I started the podcast, and then the whole time I was talking, I was just looking at your papers thinking, what is all that? Brian prints the internet.
It happens.
It was also funny, you walked in and you just popped your Dr. Pepper open, and you're like, here we go, we're doing this.
I'm totally that guy in the back of a church, just...
when you did it, that's what it felt like, because it was so quiet in here, and Peter was looking something up, and I was in another world, and you're just like...
Well, and it might be the new acoustic panels, too. Maybe you're making it more, like,
maybe it enhances the sound.
Yeah.
Instead of dampens it.
Anyway. Or it dampens all the other bad sound and like brings all the good stuff in.
Well, this is Josh Shores. I'm here with Peter Raber. And, of course, you know, Brian Brummett is here. Guys, I feel like we've not been together in a little while. We got the band back together.
How long has it? I haven't done this in a month or so.
Brian was like, do we still do a podcast? I don't know. It's been a little while. All my days are all mixed up. I think going through this, the time change and like through the Easter holiday stuff, my days are all.
Well, and it's tax season for us. So we've got everybody kind of with their heads down trying to get through stuff. And yeah, it's been a bit. We had the Lunch and Learn. Josh and I did a podcast, right? Just you and me did one.
I think we...
Yeah, was yeah, I in was the Nashville? Last one.
You were in Nashville and Kaylee was in Atlanta.
Yep.
Yeah. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
Well, today's April 4th. In typical Tennessee fashion, I had to whip back out the puffy vest this morning because it's frigid outside.
Josh never has to worry about how warm his arms are. I know. Always best.
Well, you know, I had sleet at the house this morning. I don't know about you all.
Sleet?
Yeah.
No, I didn't have that.
Like, I thought, you know, the boys were like getting into something, and then I look out the window and that little, like, just enough of the sound from sleet, and yeah, it's, or hail or whatever. But it's supposed to have potential for snow flurries tonight, which is
so we're no longer maddening. Worried about the tornado or anything.
I don't know. It feels like... Every weather predictor this year has been off, so I just wake up and go with whatever I see outside and say that's
Every
it.
Every time I go, I feel like if I could do my life over again, because I'm getting to that stage of my life currently where I want to do things over, but I feel like if I could do my life over again, I would have been a meteorologist. Because I feel like they are the only person that can consistently... be somewhat wrong and have a get out of jail card free.
So you're just wanting the get out of jail free card.
It's like they have no accountability to what they do. And it's like, even if you get bored and you didn't want to do the research, you would just switch over to the other news station and see what that guy said.
Oh, I'm convinced places like Food City and Walmart pay off meteorologists. They're like, hey, sales are down. Tell people it's going to snow outside. Let's get these milk and bread sales up.
It's bad.
I don't.
But you get to be on TV, you know, and tell people to take their umbrellas.
We're not a milk and bread family. We're more of like a Cherry Coke and Little Debbie family.
Everybody has their survival needs.
So let's get that right off the bat.
Get in my belly.
I saw it was a comedian talking about how he felt like the country had gone downhill after we stopped drinking whole milk. Like once we had all the nut milks and the soy milks and everything else, like we used to have unleaded milk and or leaded milk. And so, yeah,
I didn't know the difference for a long time. I grew up drinking whole milk.
Well, I know that skim milk's better for cholesterol, but whole milk's actually better if you're trying to lose weight because farmers feed their pigs skim milk to get them to gain weight because it doesn't have the nutrients and doesn't take as much to digest.
Is this one of the things you printed off?
It's in here somewhere.
Oh, God. I was like, no, he didn't.
That's a Robert Ingram fact. He told me that one a couple months ago.
Robert the storyteller. Yeah. Well, to come full circle here, I guess we should start the podcast since we've taken all these listeners' time with nonsense, but there's a lot of things going on. We wanted to hit on a few of them. One of them being we are going to try to officially have our ribbon cutting coming up in the month of May. We are trying really hard to set a date for that.
Even if you've been out to the office and already seen it, we've got a few things that we're still hoping to be done by then.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we hope to have the outside space done. That's really what we've been kind of held up on. We just want everyone to come by, take a tour of the building, hang out, maybe have some food, drinks, whatever, hang out with people, and then take a look from the bird's nest up there on top of the roof, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, when we moved in mid-October, it just wasn't good weather time, and then nobody wants to do it during Christmas, and then you get into the beginning of the year, so we opted for the almost 1 year anniversary to do our ribbon cutting. We're about 3/4 of the way around.
We need one of those cool signs that says re-grand opening.
Re-grand opening. Yeah. Well, we did the ground
breaking.
Right. But we've not done the ribbon cutting, so I think it's fun. Yeah. For a company that's been around since, what, 89?
Yeah.
Well, so we're trying to get a specific date set for that. That's a little challenging because I looked at the month of May yesterday for our office, and it's just like all over the place. So I felt like we were never going to find a date, but we'll pick one out. And when we do, we'll let everyone know, obviously.
Yeah, should be fun.
We'll try to make it fun and memorable.
Well, we know this place can be fun. Chastity found an Easter egg.
Well, yeah.
Earlier today.
You sent that in Discord, and I was like,
I thought that was so hilarious.
Funny.
Yeah.
So
I was like, you should keep the quarter. You found it.
When COVID came around, one of the things that my family did was we had an abundance of Easter egg hunts. Because it was something that you could do just within your family, outside, and it somehow morphed and grew and became crazy. So we hid probably 200 eggs in a combination of outside and inside the office building for the boys. And the way we do Easter eggs is instead of putting candy in them, you know, because then it melts and everything else, we put quarters in them. And then the boys can buy candy from us if they want it, or they can put that into their piggy banks, or they can do whatever else. So I think Ben won this year. I think he made out the best, and closely followed by Henry and Porgy, and we had to help him out a little bit. But he's shorter, so some of those higher-up eggs are a little tougher for him.
I feel
him.
Like Ben has that competitive streak, too, that...
If there was nothing in the eggs, he would have wanted to win. There could have been pennies in the eggs.
It didn't matter. He didn't need to win.
I'm also trying to wrap my head around where you would put 200 eggs. That's a lot.
Well, some of them were really neat. Look, I saw like Stegosaurus eggs. And
yeah, we have a in the box is still in my office, but all around the landscaping, all around outside, and then in here, I spent a good hour or so finding places to hide stuff.
But let's be honest, you don't remember where they're all at. So there could still...
Well, Chastity found one.
Maybe a few.
The lawnmower went over one yesterday.
Oh, no. What happened to the coin?
Who knows? There's we'll a quarter out there later. Somewhere. Someone bring your metal detector out.
My silver!
But yeah, it's fun. And that wasn't even using the roof because the roof isn't done yet. So
did the
I want to be involved next year. I think I could be.
Did the lawnmower guy tell you he ran over one?
No, found it.
Oh, you
found it. Yep. But, you know, is what it is.
So there's another little fun fact. If you come to the ribbon cutting, you might find an Easter egg with some money in it. There's a
non-zero chance you'll find an Easter egg.
That is very true.
Of course, that's every day in life, everywhere. There could be, they could be anywhere.
An Easter egg with a quarter in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, anywhere. That's, you never know.
The dollar amounts from the quarters was pretty close to what I thought should be out there. So
okay.
I'm thinking if there's one or two out there, that would be the max. But you never know. We'll find them like a year from now, probably, yeah. And be like, oh, well, just leave it hid there. It worked.
Clearly.
This and that is wasn't the even used in anyone's offices because I didn't want to invade like personal space. So that was without going into anyone's offices. And yeah, the boys had a blast.
That's awesome.
That is really cool.
I thought about putting one in the fish tank, but then I thought the fish tank would get knocked over. So
yeah,
we didn't do that. Just staring at him in the face, be like, haha, you can't get this one. You can't
get this one. I wouldn't want to mess with the crab over that either.
Oh, the crab would have been all over it. Yeah,
yeah, he would have.
Well, I'll throw a March Madness fact out. One, I'm awful at it. I'm always horrible when it comes to the brackets. We have an inter-office challenge, and the winner gets an extra day off for the year, and I think I'm second to last so far.
You are. You're sixth. I'm first.
There you go.
Kaylee's second. Robert's third.
All right.
I didn't hear my name, Brian.
You're fifth.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a rough year, but I'm always bad at it because I look at it from, okay, who had the best offense, who had the best defense, and then that never seems to matter.
See, but I don't know any of the players, so I literally, the first thing I do is sit down and say, what are the odds of seed 1 beating seed 16? What are the odds of 2 and 15? And I go through it like that. And
apparently that was the way to go this year. But we do have the surprise of NC State, and I do have a money thing to kind of connect it here. But NC State, who's an 11 seed, kind of came out of nowhere. And if you had taken a $100 bet on their first game in their ACC tournament, which was they had to win the tournament basically to get in and just kept rolling your winnings. So we're now in the final four. You would, that $100 turned into $702,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's going to keep going. So there's real money that's made on these. The cities that get these towns get huge economic benefits. And, you know, bars and restaurants in every community across the country are filled when these games are on. So it does have a huge economic impact, even for the non-sports people. And
well, you look what Bristol does and did for around here with the racetrack.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big time of year.
Well, I definitely have some kind of mind-blowing numbers for that stuff. But before I dive into that, I want everyone to publicly say who they picked to win the tournament.
I picked Purdue.
So you're still alive.
I'm still alive.
Oh, I'm dead. I had Houston. But like, I think my final four was gone other than Purdue within like the first two or three, you know, two weekends.
Well, I had Auburn.
So you're right there with me.
I was picking with my heart, not my brain.
Pretty much, I think in order for me to win, either UConn, who Kaylee picked, needs to fall off, or Purdue needs to win.
Well, since referees don't want to call an in the, you know, 3 second violation on Zach Edey for Purdue, I think Purdue's got a pretty good shot.
It was really bad. I don't want to get into all that because that's just going to be it's going to take us a whole nother direction.
I've watched about 3 basketball games this year and a hockey game, so I'm as far into sports as I've ever been.
Well, we're early April and we're done.
We're done here.
But we're rolling into baseball season.
Now,
so
that's
now
one
you
I think baseball would be one
game.
That would be more fun to get into because of all the stats and everything.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Well, speaking of stats, let's look at this. The top 10 March Madness stats and facts. And I don't know that I'll read all these, but, you know, we were talking about the revenue generating this event. $1.3 billion is the annual revenue for the NCAA in 2023. So obviously this is last year's numbers, which was a 14% increase from the previous year. So, you know, we won't know the final 2024 total, but I'm sure it will be probably another increase. This one was really interesting. $9.6 million is the salary for college basketball's highest paid coach.
Calipari?
Well, it says Kansas's Bill Self.
Bill Self, yeah, he'd be up there.
Yeah. It's just, can you imagine making that much money coaching basketball?
Well, when you're bringing in that much money,
yeah,
or helping bring in that much money.
And the NCAA itself is a nonprofit. So they're not paying taxes on their one point whatever billion. Yeah, it's a lot of money for the highest paid coaches in the line. I do think we're going to see that shift over the next couple of years as more NIL stuff comes in, more money's going to players versus coaches and things like that.
Here's the thing, number eight on this list, since you just mentioned that, Peter, says $0 is the amount of money the NCAA pays the players participating in the tournament. But I feel like that's slowly now changing. And you know what's really interesting, and I don't know if I just noticed this stuff because of what I do, but if you've paid attention throughout the March Madness tournament, there have been select players that have been performing extremely well in the tournament. And these companies have been doing commercials with those players.
Immediately.
Like, I'm talking like a 48-hour window. And you can tell because these players are, like, shooting this in a hotel. Yeah. Like, they're in a hotel, like, their lobby. One was for, like, some shoes and another one. But there have been...
That kid out of Oakland right after they beat Kentucky... immediately had a deal, and he said it was within 24 hours he was trying to decide, and he was still playing in the tournament. They were still playing.
Yeah, it's like
that's the wild part. Is like, yeah, we need to go do this game. Hold on, real quick, I gotta shoot my commercial.
And it'll change these kids' lives.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
some of them for really good, and some of them, you know, not for very good.
Here's a great one, Peter. You'll appreciate this one. $17.3 billion in corporate losses due to unproductive workers during March Madness.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I read that this morning and I started laughing.
I will say that it is one of those facts that it's really hard to calculate. So there's a lot of wiggle room in that. So, like, if you watch a game in your office, but then you do a little bit more work in your other hours and all your work gets done, is that lost productivity or is that...
Just spread it out a little bit.
Spread out or whatever it is. But no, it's definitely an increase, you know, because technically if you want to put a dollar amount on every second of your time, you can create... But it's kind of the same thing, you know, what is it? Pooping on company time. You know, there's a calculation for that, you know, out there too.
Is there?
Yeah.
But then you have to think about what would the productivity be if we didn't do fun stuff like March Madness or let people poop.
This would be a really terrible work environment if we couldn't poop.
Do that at home on your lunch break.
On your lunch break.
Well, as much as I hate to redirect the conversation because this is so intelligent, Peter, you mentioned earlier kind of overall impact for cities that kind of host, and they have that $413 million plus dollars is the projected economic impact on Phoenix from March Madness in 2024.
It's massive.
So you gotta imagine that's significant.
Well, and it's one of those reasons why, you know, sometimes you get cities who are putting a lot of money into arenas and venues and things that sit empty, and you're like, why are they doing that?
I know
they
the make Olympics it in gets like, a really hard bang for that.
But they get it back in a couple weekends, and then anything on top of that is gravy.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad to see them sit, though.
It is.
It is.
And it's creepy a little bit.
Especially when they don't work out for their intended purpose, and then they're just there, and they're building a new one beside of it. Or
well, you're seeing that in corporate real estate, too, in that we have all this empty corporate real estate because people are working from home now. And companies could conceivably turn that into like low cost housing. They could, you know, do things there. It's not economically incentivized to do that. It's actually in their best interest to allow it to sit empty. it's still potentially accumulating value for a buyer 3 or 4 years down the road as the real estate market moves potentially higher. And in a lot of places, you can't fill it because of all this regulation and coding and everything else. And it takes a lot of work. We just saw one abandoned baseball stadium. They turned it into an apartment complex. So they left like the field is common ground and everything, but like all the boxes and stands got converted into apartments. But it takes a lot of work to do stuff like that.
Is that cool or is that weird? I can't figure out. I'm trying to picture it in my head.
The closest thing I could do is going to Bristol Motor Speedway High in high school when East shut down and they moved us over there. It was kind of like that, maybe. I don't know. Living in a skybox. Hey, meet me at second base.
Well, they did a lot of renovations to it, but
I may have to
Look it up.
I may have to edit this part out. But did you say going to Bristol Motor Speedway High?
I've got T-shirt. Bristol Motor Speedway High. They had a black mold at East, and they moved us over there for a while.
I totally misinterpreted
Bristol Motor Speedway High.
You're referring to it as high school. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant you showed up there.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, just leave this part in.
So that's why I stopped it. I was like, what did he say?
Everybody else was drinking, but...
I didn't want to be trashy.
Yeah, I didn't want to be trashy.
Wow. I was so confused. And you weren't picking up on my confusion. You just kept going.
Well, it was the most natural thing. I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, it was like his Bristol Motor Speedway.
I guess I just never heard of that. Yeah. So that's not even a thing in my mental
state. It's fun
state.
Until you realize your next class is a quarter of a mile away. Jeez.
Oh, March Madness. Gotta love it. I know you guys aren't terribly into it, but the Masters is coming up. So, Brian, have you tried golf?
We did that golf simulator. You and I did.
Yeah,
you
had a really good time with that.
That was fun.
Lacey hit the ball well.
Yeah, everybody's like, how long have you played? She's like, this is the first time I've ever hit it.
Give me that baseball bat. Yeah. Let's go.
No, that was all kinds of fun. Yeah, we were at this party, and I went, I guess, to the restroom or something and heard some people in the other room wandered in there and they had a golf simulator.
It was our ambassador Christmas party a couple years ago.
I started getting texts. Yeah. Where are you?
I like playing golf. I just don't like watching it.
Yeah. It can be a little...
But people say the same thing about baseball. So to each their own.
No, I've tried watching hockey after going to the hockey game because I had all kinds of fun watching it there. It just wasn't that enjoyable to me on TV.
Hockey is much more enjoyable in person.
Oh, yeah.
I will throw out, they're starting to talk about putting a Major League Baseball game in Bristol Motor Speedway. Kind of like they did the Tennessee Virginia Tech game.
Someone told me about that.
So I'll be there if they do it.
That is cool.
It's wild. They just can't. It's sad that they have to try to come up with all these ways to...
Well, it sits empty for other than the two big weekends.
And theirs aren't even as big as they used to be.
Well, and they're not even... They're not big weekends. That's the problem. No,
right.
That's
used to, people would show up weeks in advance and camp out and stuff, and now it's just not even...
Oh, racing. Rest in peace. It all died with Earnhardt.
I saw Dale Jr. was going to run a race here coming up. Come back into it for a little bit.
That's cool.
I know. Same thing. I don't like watching that.
Yeah. I know he owns some of the second series teams.
Yeah. Well, that's a little bit of a recap about our March Madness fun. Are there any important topics going on in the world of finance that people need to know before we log off?
Market continues to move higher. Interest rates still moving a little bit lower, flattish to low. So still moving in the right directions there. We're getting past tax season, so that'll be good. I still have about 20 Cadbury eggs to eat because I stocked up.
Wow.
And the Easter Bunny brought me one of those massive Cadbury eggs that had 16 Cadbury eggs inside of it. So that was the start of it. So Yeah.
I've never, I didn't know that was a thing either. What? Where am I at?
So hopefully there's work doing your work so hard.
There's a Cadbury egg that has Cadbury eggs inside of it.
Yeah, it's like a Russian nesting doll.
There you go. Yep. And then you could go even the smaller Cadbury eggs, but those aren't as good.
Wow. Okay. That's great. I love Cadbury eggs.
It's just liquefied fondant, but it's still really good.
Yeah. Well, good. So, you know, some encouraging things happening on the market side of things. Brian, do you have any insights you want to share with the loyal listeners?
This year, you know, as far as the election goes, you know, we might see increased volatility, but almost every year that's an election year, we're up around between 7.6 and 15.3% on election years. Hmm. We've only had, I think, two negative election years since 1928.
Oh, that's a pretty good run.
I think that's right. But,
yep. A lot of volatility.
There's four total negative election years, but there's a lot of volatility but it does typically end up being a good year for the stock market.
Great. Well, that's encouraging. What a way to finish on an encouraging note. So,
that's we'll the see. Most encouraging thing we can say about politics, probably. Yeah. So let's just cut it there.
Just stop
it's a perfect way to end it. So thank everyone for listening. Go follow us on all of our social channels. Check out our website, AFIAdvisors.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, snide remarks, well, email those to Brian. But if you have any of the other ones, email us at connect@AFIAdvisors.com, and we will catch you next time. Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@AFIAdvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.